During the Doshat Ran, we're up page Kuf Lamed in the Shalem edition, Shin Yud Aleph in the Mosad of Kuk edition. And the Ran had been discussing that Moshe was taking 70 elders who would have prophecy through his prophecy, and that way there would be a unity in the leadership of the people of Israel. He named Keni Shtatfam Moshe Yad Shtei Sibot. So the 70 elders were joining Moshe for two reasons. Achat Kedei Sheyem Maskimim Nedat Achat. So the idea of their attaining prophecy through Moshe was so that they would all have one opinion, one approach. They're all working off of the same strength. And the second reason they received prophecy through Moshe was to allow them to attain prophecy beyond their own strength. Remember, where the Ran had begun by telling us that when prophecy comes down on a prophet, then the person standing next to him, even if he is less worthy, can have that prophecy by virtue of the fact that he's next to the prophet. And he illustrated this. He showed how spirituality can spread. Elisha tells the lad next to him he can see the chariots of fire, the army of fire, because he's standing next to Elisha. And when Elisha is next to Elio, when Elio is whisked off into heaven, when Elio becomes an angel, so Elisha becomes a greater prophet. So when prophecy comes down on one person, it can affect the people standing next to them beyond what those people could ordinarily attain on their own. So when the 70 elders go out of the camp with Moshe, there are two reasons they have to stand out there with Moshe. Number one, so that it be clear to everyone that their prophecy stems from Moshe, there be a unified front. Number two, because on their own, they couldn't attain such a high level of prophecy. Standing next to Moshe, they could. אבל שיתוף אהרון ומרים עם משה לא היה, כי אם כדי שישיגו אהרון ומרים הנבואה פתאום מצד השתתף משה מהם. Then the Ran took us to another story. Aaron and Miriam are speaking improperly about Moshe. God says suddenly, Moshe, Aaron and Miriam, please come out of the camp. Aaron and Miriam come out, they stand next to Moshe, and they get prophecy. Now, they could have gotten prophecy. Ordinarily, they were prophets. But here, the idea was that ordinarily, they would prepare themselves for prophecy. Now, Hashem is giving them prophecy without preparation. So that's because they were standing next to Moshe. Ki en lomar sheshitufo shemoshe mehem haya kedei sheireh Moshe sheshem bach mekaneh lichvodo. You can't say that the idea here was so that Moshe will see how God is fighting on Moshe's behalf. God's protecting Moshe's honor. Sheif shalom alken. You can't say that. El al divrei misho omer sham bisifri shebifneim shenit beru bo. We quoted a machlokas in the Sifri. When Moshe is summoned out of the camp, does Moshe hear what God says to Aaron and Miriam? So if you say Moshe heard it, then you could say that part of the idea was that Moshe sees God fends for his honor. But if Moshe didn't hear it, so why was he summoned out there? Shemachlokati b'sifri, in the Medrash in the Sifri, there's an argument among the rabbis. Amru sham, over there the Sifri says as follows. Vayishma Hashem. God heard the conversation between Aaron and Miriam. They're talking about their brother Moshe, and God heard. Melamed, this is to teach us, says the Sifri, Shelo Ita Sham Briya. They didn't speak about Moshe in front of anyone else. Ela Beinam Levin Atzvam Dibuvo. They were standing alone. Aaron and Miriam, Moshe's siblings, were talking about Moshe. Rabbi Natan Omer Af Befanav Shel Moshe. Rabbi Natan says, no. Aaron and Miriam stood there and spoke in front of Moshe. Shneimar Vayishma Hashem. And the next pasuk says, "Va'ish Moshe anav meod." So Rabbi Natan says you have to read it as follows: "Va'ishma Hashem, va'ish Moshe." God heard and Moshe heard. Ela shekavash Moshe al hadavar. When Moshe heard it, he didn't say a word. So here's his siblings talking about him, and he doesn't say anything. It's his big brother and his big sister. So both opinions. One opinion says no one heard but God. The second opinion says Moshe also heard. So then you have to look at the psukim and understand what's going on. If we go with the opinion that no one heard it, only Aaron and Miriam were speaking. So then why does the Torah attest Moshe was extraordinarily humble? Even if you're not humble, if you don't know, you don't hold it against someone, right? So it seems that what the verse is telling us is as follows. The Torah was telling us that God stepped into the picture, and the reason was not because God knew that Moshe will ultimately hear and it'll bother him. Moshe was very humble. So even if Moshe would have heard that his siblings spoke badly against him, he was so great. None of that bothered him. I saw that once, more than once, when I spoke with Rav Feinstein, and there were things that I thought should have bothered him. And he always said, well, maybe the person meant this way, maybe the person meant that way. And you could see that this was his attitude. You saw a person that was humble, and then things didn't bother him. So God gets into the picture, and it's not on Moshe's behalf. That's why the Torah tells how humble Moshe was. It's telling us Moshe wouldn't have minded. God did not enter the picture because he knew Moshe would hear, and then he would be upset. God rebukes the men, Ishmael Yamin, punished Miriam, Shedibu, Bimishigadonim, because they spoke improperly about one who was greater than them. So that's, according to that understanding, that Moshe did not hear it, so then the Torah attests that Moshe was humble to explain to us that God entered the picture because what they did was wrong. Not because Moshe would have been bothered by it. And notice what the Ran is saying is greater than what we think. When we hear this Ran, our thoughts are, Moshe would hear it and say, eh. But the way we say, eh. You know, when we say, eh, what we're saying is, I'm going to be a kind person, I'm going to be a good person, and I'm going to make believe it doesn't bother me. But deep down inside, it does bother us. When the Ran says it doesn't bother Moshe, what it means is that it didn't bother Moshe. I don't know if we can understand that. It's so foreign to us, you know. Someone tells you you're dumb. You know, even if you don't think you're dumb, it bothers you. Why did he say I'm dumb? You know, even if you think, you know, you just got a 1600 on the SATs, you just took an IQ test and you know you're a genius. You walk home and your brother says, I know the IQ test said that. I'm telling you, you're dumb. You get upset. What are you getting upset for?
No, not you're dumb.
If someone on a level or high level, it's like if someone said to you, you know, you're a murderer and you're 2 feet 3 inches tall. Wouldn't bother you because you know it's ridiculous. If someone says to Moshe, you're dumb, he's also about, it's so far from, he had such a real concept of his gifts from Hashem,
oh,
he was, that...
So that's greatness. I'm saying, but think of your big brother and your big sister saying, boy, what arrogance. You know, you know you're the you're a modest person, but your big brother and big sister are saying something, and they're not little people. They're also leaders of Israel. No, if Moshe heard it, wouldn't bother him. That's greatness. Oh, wow. It really wouldn't bother him. Not the way we can do it.
I think you're supposed to have it bother us a little, though, to say this is coming to us as a message for a reason. What did I do that was dumb, even though he's just a messenger and looking for the good eyes?
But is that ideal? Meaning, is the human mind...
It's ideal if you're at the level that... Of course, it's not ideal.
No, I'm not talking about at the level we are now. I'm saying the ideal for the human being is he's supposed to be insulted at something, and something that might be ridiculous, it's supposed to be forgiving, it's supposed to be like Moshe, or is Moshe totally separate from all human beings for all time? Or are we, as human beings, supposed to evolve psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, to the point where we are like that? So if someone says something like about us, you know, no matter how ridiculous, it doesn't bother us.
The second one.
If we say that they were speaking in front of Moshe, then the verses play out as follows. The pasuk is telling us, they're talking, Moshe's there, and then the pasuk says, and Moshe was the most humble of men. It's telling us that Hashem got into the picture because Hashem wanted to react. The pasuk is telling us Moshe was humble to tell us that in Moshe's soul there was no reaction. Meaning his brother and sister are speaking about how he's wrong. He knows he's right. He knows that they're wrong in talking about him. And yet his soul is not what pleads in heaven, is not what expresses its pain that arouses the reaction from heaven. Meaning, very often you have a situation like that where you're silent, but inside you're boiling. Or if you're not boiling, you just hurt a little bit. So that, we say, so that arouses a reaction from heaven sometimes. Comes the Torah and says, Moshe was extraordinarily humble to tell us God got into the picture but not because of Moshe. Because from Moshe's perspective, even though they were saying it in front of him, he was so humble, it didn't bug him. כי יש לקצת הנפשות זה הפועל, כי מאשר עצם הנפש רוחני מושפע מהסכנים הנבדלים, חומר זה העולם התחתום שעבד לנפש, והנפש תפעל בו, וכאשר הוא ידוע ומפורסם שכל נפש ונפש תפעל בגוף שלה, כאשר ישתנה מזג האדם כפי מחשבותיו והפעלויותיו הנפשיים, כן אפשר שתמצא נפש פועלת יותר, שלא תרשם בגופה לבד, אבל בגופות אחרים. He says over here, a slightly complicated concept, he says, our soul reacts. And when our soul reacts, it affects our body. This week they came out with a study that when people are depressed, when people are upset, so then it can affect their cell structure. It can make them age more rapidly. So now they're seeing how our temperament will affect our physical body.
They came out and said this week.
Huh?
You came out and said this week, he said?
Yeah.
Talked about before, I brought this as a question with you, and he said, the king was that young. When this person stresses out, they age quicker.
Okay.
It's a known thing, I didn't know.
Okay, but I don't think they knew it was the cell structure. They knew other things. They knew the chiddush is on the cell structure. Coming back to here, so the Ran says, our soul affects our body. But that's understood because the body is intertwined with the soul. But the soul can also affect other bodies. This is an idea that what a person feels can impact others. Umizeh minu inyan ayin hara. This is the concept that we find of ayin hara shehizkiru azav that our sages said. A person looks at someone else who has it good. You see it in all the cultures. You jinxed me. You know, why'd you jinx me? How come you're shooting hoops? You're getting 99 out of 100. Then you say, Mom, look, your mother comes and suddenly you're missing 30%. What happened?
Pressure.
Pressure, maybe. Chazal say that there is a concept of ayin hara. V'zeh eino mitzad shlemut hanefesh ma'alata. But where does it all stem from? It stems from the fact that we are not at peace with ourselves. Why does a person have ayin hara? Because he is bothered that someone else has something he doesn't. Aval mitzad shetiyeh ra'a kana'it. What happens is the soul has this evil side to it. It's jealous. Kefi hakochot ha'shofim aleha be'et ha'kishur ha'nefesh baguf. And the soul connects to the body, and the soul, just as the soul affects our body, there's an aspect where the soul can affect other people in this world. That's the idea of ayin hara. And we're in the middle of a thought. Let's hear the run out. Be'ezrat Hashem, to be continued next week.